Now, friend of the show, it's his second time back. Nick Lowry, former NFL player, joins me to talk about the story of Fred McNeil, CTE, which is obviously back in the spotlight, as Fred may have been the first living patient with this debilitating disease, and the possibility and what it could mean if, in fact, we get to a point where we can detect, we can know whether CTE has taken place in living human beings. And so Nick joins me now on the show. Nick, thank you so much for making time.
Hey, great to be on, and I just want to do a great credit to a man that had some time in Kansas City, and we appreciate it.
Nick Lowry here. Nick, so let's just start with this. I mean, it is, and obviously the breakthrough, the folks who are at the forefront of this in Boston believe they've done this. They're trying to raise funding now, and they may be 3 to 5 years away from being able to get this to a point where it's the accepted science, and we know we can do this, that we can detect CT in human beings. If and when that day comes, how significant do you think this could be in affecting football and in affecting the health of people who play football?
You cannot make a huge step in the direction of carving out a new era where concussions and CTE are at some level controlled. You have to get through this period, which is now we've got people like Dr. Ann McKee and Dr. Bennett Amalu and his very significant accomplishment and what we're doing over at Temple with Ken Life Sciences to find the biomarker so that essentially you're finding something that is measurable, that's an indicator of the severity and presence of the disease while the person's still alive. That means that those families, if you watch the piece on CNN by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and you watched his family suffer and talk about what it was like to play basketball with their father, and then suddenly he has a fit of rage. And you saw that in the movie Concussion, and you know the silent and private agonies they went through. Suddenly now, when you know what's going on, anybody that's had cancer, as hard as it is to at least know what the enemy is, now you can start to do some things about it. And we believe that we're not more than a couple years away from a super CBD pill, if you will, that has been approved through research and development through the FDA standards that are required so they can be in every single drugstore in the world, because this is not just a football thing, Bill. It is a worldwide phenomenon that was always there. We just didn't know.
Nick Lowry, former Kansas City Chiefs kicker, talking about CTE and what could be a huge breakthrough for the well-being of a lot of people. We're talking about it here on CBS Sports Radio. And that solution that Canna Life Sciences, I know, holds the exclusive license for from the federal government, it's a cannabis solution. What is the potential impact, if this works, Nick Lowry, to make a difference from, and we hear about a lot of people, obviously a lot of former football players who are dealing with varying degrees of the consequences of CTE. How could this solution impact their lives and make their lives better?
Well, I'll give you one thing. I may have mentioned the last one. When UCLA Torrance looked at traffic accident victims, what happens if the person that had the traumatic brain injury and died in the car accident doesn't die? And what happens if they not only didn't die, but they're able to recover and have function in their lives? Of the people that had CBDs in their system, and THC is part of that, but it's not the only part of it, those people were 5 times less likely to die. And what we're looking at is a super CBD, what we call KLS-13019 molecule, which sounds like space age, and it is kind of. It's 50 times more powerful, 400 times by medical standards safer, and 10 times more bioavailable. So what this means is when people can have this proven, obviously has to go through all of those FDA standards to show that it absolutely does what it says it does, it means that people's brains are going to be more resilient, and they'll be able to make decisions based not on fear, but on some level of control and some level of predictability. And obviously, rules have to do with that as well. The NFL has adopted something like, 47 rules changes. Helmets can help, But the only thing that will really make a difference, Bill, is an internal helmet. It's the kind of thing that Dr. Bennett Amalu and I talked about on MSNBC, and I take my hat off to him because of the courage and the fastidious quality of research he's continued to show in leadership. This internal cellular helmet in the brain itself, making those brain cells work better, communicate better, and actually, it looks like from the Salk Institute, possibly neuro-regenerate. Those things are very exciting, and they give a lot of hope.
Talking to Nick Lowry here on CBS Sports Radio. Nick, you referenced all of the new rules that are meant to protect players playing the game, and yet in the last week or so, we've seen Jacoby Brissett, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers have situations where they continued to play football, and then later we found out that they were in concussion protocol and or had a concussion. Do we have a long ways to go just in terms of the athletes who obviously are critical to their teams being forced to or forcing themselves to sit out, even in the midst of a game, when they are facing the possibility of a secondary concussion after the first?
We have a ways to go. I mean, you can just look at instant replay. They're still debating that because, you know, it used to be that we wanted to avoid the egregious error, and instant replay technology seemed to help with that. But now they're splitting hairs in their decisions. The games are delayed. Application of rules takes time. And the other complicating factor, Bill, I believe, is with regard to rules on the field, we change rules how many times a year? How many times a season are there new rules put in place and the referees have to do something differently? It takes a while. I mean, I think in 5 years you're going to see a significantly better place than we were. I mean, in 2010, the NFL was still saying that there was no such thing as CTE. There's no such thing as a concussion issue. Now we have people with the NFL that are legitimate scientists. The NFL's doing the right thing much better than it ever has. And now we just have to keep that momentum in terms of the legitimate science, not just for the NFL, but for the rest of the world, not just all the other sports, but all those people, and including soldiers, that will benefit from this.
Nick Lowry here with me, Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio. Nick, the former Kansas City Chiefs kicker, who has done just great work talking about CTE and this issue all over the country, and we love it when he makes time for us here on the show. Nick, it's interesting. Like, and you're right. Like, the NFL has moved leaps and bounds forward in terms of not just acknowledging CTE, but trying to address it. And yet I'm always baffled and amazed how many people who played the game, or fans, when faced with the even a conversation about CTE, try immediately to say it's overstated, football is not connected to this disease. I have friends who played the sport who come on this radio show and make that argument. I did a TV hit today with a former player who went out of his way to try to point out that there's no proof that football causes CTE or there's a connection. If, in fact, we get to a point where we can diagnose live human beings and whether or not they have CTE, do you think we then reach a point where we move past those conversations and whatever the reality is, we accept it?
Absolutely. You know, who we surround ourselves with, I was lucky enough to study with Professor Light, who's a world expert on statistics at Harvard, and that doesn't mean I'm a world expert at all, but you do know about self-selection. You do know that Dr. Ann McKee's selection of 110 of 111 players, you know, those that had their brains submitted to her at Boston University, they did have CTE, but that's not an accurate sample because it's not a random sample. But having said that, you know, I have a feeling that the people that you surround yourself with, Bill, you know, they may not be, shall we say, a random sample either. They end up having certain constituencies. And we see this today with all the fake news and, you know, accusations with regard to global warming or the Holocaust. I mean, we have digital accessibility to only those things that confirm our bias to begin with, if we so choose. And the real leaders have to be disingenuous enough, they have to be objective enough, they have to be able to divorce their subjective feelings, and it's a hard thing. We always have subjective feelings that we have to pierce through to get to it, but we're getting there, and I'm just excited because I know that Ken Life Sciences is doing the right thing with the right standards, and the people at Ken Life and Temple University are doing fantastic work. Dr. Bennett Amalu is a superstar, so we're making progress, and I would just observe, Bill, that, you know, just September 28th, we were talking, you and I, about this new study at BU that showed all these football players that had it. And here we are just a couple months later, and now Dr. Amalu has developed a PET scan, and it's now featured already in Oxford Medical Journal that looks like very significant new progress in a way we've never achieved before, which is in the life of a player being able to know that. That's huge, very rapid progress. We're going to keep making that.
Nick Lowry, I love having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time. We look forward to having you do this again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks. You're the leader, brother.